Before we start this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including the Stitcher Radio app for your mobile device, iTunes, our website air-raid.net, and of course at www.cairoradio.com. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 242 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Julia Shapiro of the band Chastity Belt, which has been blowing up, man. Blowing up, especially here in the Pacific Northwest. You're going to be hearing a lot about this band in the weeks to come. They've got a new album out on Hardly Art Records, one of my favorite local labels here in Seattle. It's called Time to Go Home, and it's available now. It's available now. And by far, probably one of my favorite records. I can say this right now. I said this about Cataldo's record last year. I'm going to say it about Chastity Belt's record this year. This is going to be probably one of my top five albums of the year. I can already tell. It is fantastic. I highly recommend you get your hands on a copy. And they're selling them on cassette tape. We go into that a little bit in the chat. Chat about a lot of stuff in this episode. Feminism and being a role model. Being a role model for young girls. So, coming up real soon. Julia Shapiro is going to be joining us here in the backyard. Man, all right. Happy Easter or Passover or whatever, religious the thing that happens. I don't know. Jesus drops like a bunny rabbit, and then the bunny rabbit like poops out some eggs, and we all go find those and eat a shit ton of candy. Right? Yeah. That's basically what I did today. I didn't turn into Jesus. I didn't poop out any brightly colored eggs, but I did eat a shitload of candy amongst many other bad, bad things that I should not have eaten. If I die in the next 24 hours, I will have you know that it's probably from this. Let's go down the list, shall we? Real quick. I know this is highly, highly interesting. You guys all want to hear about this. I ate for breakfast two and a half. Oh my God. Sausage egg McMuffins from McDonald's. And then we went to a one-year-old birthday party for some great friends over in Ellensburg, Washington. Drove all the way there, which was awful because two kids in a tiny cramped car driving, you know, for 2 hours is not fun at all, folks. I do not recommend doing that. And then proceeded to eat my weight in mini Cadbury eggs. And then when we got home, Mairead, my lovely wife, is like, hey, how about we go to Kid Valley Burger and get some cheeseburgers for dinner and French fries? Sounded like a great idea. Sounded like, it's like, how can I turn that down? How can I turn down my lovely wife when she suggests that? So, yeah. So, of course, I got the double bacon cheeseburger. And some garlic fries. And now I'm suffering probably what can be considered heart palpitations because I am just full of cholesterol and fat and Kraft cheese. Some sort of Kraft singles cheese. By the way, the best on a burger, right? Nobody's going to argue with that. I don't think so. Hey, other things coming up in the show. We got, some great new music featuring Chastity Belt. And of course, our ending segment, inspirational quote by a 3.5-year-old, which I didn't think was going to be as popular as it has been. A lot of people have been writing in. A lot of people have been telling me on the streets. IRL that they really enjoy the inspirational quote. And yes, that is my 3.5-year-old daughter, Tatum, Olivia Roden. And she loves doing it, by the way. Also, I mentioned this in passing in the last episode, is that if you've got a young kid, male or female, or you know of a young kid and you want to get them on the Air Raid podcast saying an inspirational quote, you can do so by emailing it to me. Record it on your phone or something like that if you don't have a recording device, and send it to me. Send me the audio file, and I'll chop it up if I need to stitch it together. Preferably, you would have that done. But yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I've been getting good at that stuff. But you can email it to me, Aaron@air-raid.net. That's Aaron@air-raid.net. So we haven't gotten any submissions yet, so I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you guys. Send me your submissions if you have kids. I don't know. Does anybody out there listening to this have kids? Am I the only person with kids? I don't think so. Come on. Come on, people. Yeah, let's get some kids saying inspirational things or just funny quotes, whatever you want to send. So we'll put those at the end of the episode if you'd like. Okay, so let's Chastity Belt, man. Let's talk about this for a second. This band is friggin' fantastic. I have not seen them live yet, which I definitely need to change that. Because I've heard their live show is fantastic. They've been doing a whole bunch. They just got off tour doing the South by Southwest thing down there to much acclaim. And we were lucky enough to get Julia Shapiro on the show and in the backyard to talk about the new album and how things came to be. And it's a great, interesting story. And I know that you guys are going to enjoy it. Now, to get your hands on a copy of the album, the easiest way is to go to hardlyart.com/chastitybelt, and then just click on the shop tab there at the time, or just go to shop page right next to their album artwork, okay? Because, man, this stuff is great. And I highly suggest you go and like them on Facebook to get all the updates. Chastity Belt, just type that into the search bar. Should come right up with it. These ladies have a very, very bright future ahead of them, and it's just fantastic stuff. See, it's the heart palpitations. I can't get the words out, right? But what's new? Okay, so let's do this, shall we? Let's go with our first musical break, and then we'll come back in with my conversation with Julia Shapiro of Chastity Belt. This song is called Happiness off of their album No Regrets that came out in 2013. Another great one, by the way, folks, so you can get that as well. All right, this is Happiness by Chastity Belt, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Thank you. how we met.
That's where everything started, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Are you from Washington?
No, I'm from Palo Alto, California.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All of us are from all over.
Yeah.
Annie's from Gig Harbor, Washington. Lydia's from Hawaii, and Gretchen's from Michigan.
Wow. So what brought you up to Whitman College in Walla Walla, Washington?
Well, I heard about it because my mom went there.
Really?
Really,
just really into onions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just into onions and wine, I guess. Wine is big there too. But yeah, I guess high school kind of burnt me out, and by the end of it, like, doing college applications was just, I didn't want to do that many. I think I did like 5 total.
Uh-huh.
And I did the ones that were the easiest, like the ones without like really long essays.
Uh-huh.
And Whitman happened to have a pretty easy application.
See, that is like totally counter to everything that I think about Whitman College.
Really?
Like, yeah, yeah. Because like, I went to Central Washington, and Central has like a definite, shall we say, a very bro aspect to it.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when I went there. Like, it was one of the easiest colleges to get into.
Uh-huh.
And like, I should have applied to Whitman. Because that's when I think about Whitman College, I just think about smart people.
Oh, well, that's cool.
I was too afraid to apply to Whitman. I think Central was the only one that I applied for.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So I was just like, I'm not going to get in anywhere.
Yeah, I didn't know where I was going to get in. I was just like so against doing more work after like after being done with high school and like,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But did you like it? Did you end up really liking it out there?
Parts of it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I definitely met a lot of great people there.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Met your whole band.
Met the whole band. Yeah. Yeah. So that was one good thing that came out of it. I think that the isolation actually helped us come up with more creative ways to have fun, you know?
Sure.
Like, because we weren't in a city, we just had so much free time. We were always hanging out, and we were like, let's just start a band.
Yeah, yeah. So what was 'cause Whitman is a, what some would call a liberal arts school, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I guess that's what you would call it.
So is it kind of like Evergreen? And for the people listening out of the state of Washington, Evergreen State College is down in Olympia and is a very kind of free-form educational college where you can basically kind of like mold your own major.
I'd say it's less free-form than Evergreen.
Okay, okay. So it's not like that where you can like pick your own.
It's not quite as loose. You can't come up with your own major. I don't know if that's a thing at Evergreen.
Yeah.
People like make their own major, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's very much a thing.
I think that maybe you can do that at Whitman, but it would be really hard. Uh-huh. You'd have to really fight for it. But yeah.
But not a big school, right?
No, it's smaller than my high school, which is kind of crazy. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
My high school is like 1,700 and Whitman 1,600, I think.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So what was so you move out there. Were you into music before you went to college?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've always been into music.
Always playing guitar?
Uh-huh. Well, I started playing piano when I was 9, I think.
And was that forced?
Yeah, that was forced.
Uh-huh.
But I think I only played piano for like a year and a half, maybe 2 years, because I got so freaked out by the recitals. I actually liked playing piano, but I had to quit because the recitals were so nerve-wracking. I can't believe that they make kids do that.
Like just the fact that you have to get up on stage, yeah, and play a song for...
You walk up on this huge stage, mm-hmm. in like this huge ballroom or whatever, and you do your little curtsy, and then you like sit up straight and have to have a song memorized. There's no like sheet music in front of you.
What?
And I would just like I could play the song perfectly,
uh-huh.
in my own house, and then I get up there and I just freeze. That happened to me. And
so you had it. So and this is at 9?
Yeah, like it was 10, like 9 or 10 like or something. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So so it just that just made me remember I was in the Cub Scouts, and there was this like there was this camp, this like summer camp in Paulsbo that that I got wrangled into going to. I never liked the Cub Scouts. I did not have a good time. But my parents, like with your parents getting you to play piano, they were like, well, we need to get Aaron off of his ass to do something. So we're gonna put him in Cub Scouts. And there was a summer camp thing that we would just go to every day for like 2 weeks. And at the end of it, there was this big production, like each troop had to do this big production on this big stage outdoors in front of everybody. There's several hundred, you know, people involved in this thing. And I went and told my, whatever troop leader or whatever that I had to go to the bathroom. And I just sat in the porta potty for a half an hour until this thing was over.
That's amazing. And that's then genius. Came out.
Right.
I should have done that. I don't know why I didn't hide in the bathroom.
Yeah, I just hid there. And then for some reason was super disappointed at the end of it when everybody got this like special badge for being up on stage. And they did not give me one because I was in the bathroom the whole time.
Oh, no. Was it like one of, I don't know, I did Girl Scouts when I was little.
Oh, you did?
Do you guys get the little badges that you put on? We had like...
You had the sash.
The sash filled with badges.
Yeah, I think it was kind of the same thing. Or it might have been... It might have been... No, there was a sash or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, there was a sash. Yeah. Or I can't remember because I didn't really... Like, after that experience, like, I was like, no more.
Yeah.
And my dad was just like, okay, yeah, you can quit. But it was either a sash or you actually got badges like stitched on or glued on to your actual shirt or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't last at Girl Scouts for very long.
Didn't last either.
No. I'm not very good at doing organized things.
Me neither, man. Yeah. It's awful.
I don't like
it's
awful. It.
So, what was life like for a little Julie Shapiro? By the way, Julie Shapiro of the band Chastity Belt joining me here in the backyard. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. It's Julia.
Julia. Actually, oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. I knew I was going to get that wrong too. So what was life like for little Julia Shapiro in California?
It was all right. I grew up in Palo Alto, which she might know of from Facebook. It's where Facebook was created.
Oh, okay.
Home of Facebook, Stanford University.
Yeah, yeah.
My high school was right across from there.
Okay. What did your parents do?
I don't even know what my dad does. I've asked him to explain it to me so many times.
He's got one of those jobs.
He works with computers like in Silicon Valley.
Something
to do with networks and storage, and he's the marketing person.
He's the marketing person.
That's as
for
much
some
as I
sort
know.
Of
yeah,
computer company.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my mom sort of did architecture, like on and off.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Yeah. So you were kind of surrounded by well-educated people.
Yeah,
I would say.
I'd say so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Liberal, well-educated people.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a great way to grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was surrounded by liberal, not so well-educated people, which was, you know, still pretty good.
Did you grow up in Washington?
Yeah. Yeah. Over on the Kitsap Peninsula. Very small town called Indianola. And it was wonderful. Wonderful place to spread my little wings.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
A peninsula.
Yeah,
everyone
man.
Loves a peninsula.
Dude. You can't go wrong with it. When you're next to a beach, it's a great way to grow up, right? Is Palo Alto close to a beach? I don't know much about...
It's not far. It's the South Bay, so it's closer to the bay.
Gotcha. So just north of San Francisco.
South of San Francisco.
South of San Francisco. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. So when did, like, besides piano, when did music start to take hold?
I started playing guitar in seventh grade, I think.
When everybody starts playing guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I was really punk in seventh grade.
Yeah.
I went through this phase where I shopped at Hot Topic and I started listening to some cool bands.
Like who?
Well, half of them I actually still think are cool.
Yeah.
Which is, that's great.
Yeah.
But, the worst ones were Avril Lavigne and Good Charlotte. I don't know if you remember that band.
I do. Yeah.
And The Cure, I would listen to in seventh or eighth grade. Uh-huh. So that stuck with me. I still listen to The Cure.
Yeah.
I said I listened to Metallica, but I don't think I really did. I said I listened to a lot of bands after only hearing one song.
Sure. I think that's the case with most seventh grade kids.
Yeah.
Like that was the case when I was growing up. It was, you know, it was firmly in the 90s, you know, the alternative and grunge era. And there were a lot of bands that I had heard of that I was like, oh yeah, I'm into those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I knew it was cool to like Metallica.
Right.
the Sex Pistols. I think I had a picture of Sid Vicious on my binder, like,
yeah,
along with like Johnny Depp and like all these other boys that I thought were hot, you know. Just made a little collage.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, then immediately a year later I was like completely embarrassed that I liked Good Charlotte, and you know, my musical interests changed a little bit. I started listening to Elliott Smith a ton, and yeah, he became like my favorite musician.
Really?
Through high school, listened to a lot of Elliott Smith.
Yeah
I owned like every single song he ever wrote. And I stopped playing electric guitar and I started playing acoustic.
Oh, you
guitar.
Switched it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Following
the footsteps.
Yeah. Just getting a little folksy. and
were you playing with other people at that point?
No. Just on my own. I took some guitar lessons. I didn't play with other people until Chastity Belt. Like,
oh, really?
Everyone in Chastity Belt is like the first. That's the first group I've ever played with.
Yeah.
Gretchen's the first drummer I've ever played with.
But you must have played with, like, you must have, like, jammed with other people, though. In high school? Junior high?
I don't think I did.
Really?
Like, I had one friend who played guitar, but we didn't really jam.
Yeah.
We'd maybe, like, teach each other songs.
Was it a self-confidence thing?
It could have been, yeah. I think I didn't really know how to write songs, and I just didn't think I could. I remember I used to make like really stupid home movies with my friends, and I remember doing one that was like a joke VH1 Behind the Music.
Yeah.
And I got out my acoustic guitar and was just like making up songs on the spot. I was like, oh, I can write songs. They were really stupid, but it's like, oh, it's not that hard. I'm not even like trying. My fingers are just doing stuff and it sounds like a song.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
You ever see any of those videos? They ever surface?
I haven't seen them in a while.
Does somebody still have them?
I think my cousin might still have some.
Really?
Yeah.
I came across it was a VHS tape that a friend of mine and I made back in probably like seventh or eighth grade, where we were just rocking out to Sonic Youth in my bedroom and just had like, you know, Christmas lights going and stuff like that. And we're just rocking out to the album Dirty and just,
nice.
Just, you know, headbanging and stuff in my bedroom. And then at some point making out with a big like action figure doll. And it was very, very, seemed funny at the time.
Yeah.
And then a friend of ours found this videotape at my friend Kelly's house and she kept it and she held on to it and she still has it and she hangs it over my head every once in a while.
Is she blackmailing you?
She probably she could with it if she wanted to, because it is super embarrassing. We went back and watched it when I was in college, and I came back and she had this videotape and she was like, I want to show you something. And so we popped it in the VCR. I was like, oh shit, we need to burn this. This needs to be destroyed. But she still has it. Every once in a while, she'll email me and she'll just say that I still have this VHS tape.
Yeah, she's never getting rid of that. She should make some copies just in case.
Just start to, put it on DVD and just start distributing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It could be a new, now Sonic Youth is over, but could have been a Sonic Youth music video.
Yeah.
Be a good one.
That sounds like a great music video.
right. So, high school ends. Are you still, like, when you get to college and you're playing music, how far into your college experience did you start meeting the rest of the ladies and playing music?
I met all of them my freshman year, and Annie and Gretchen and I actually were in this band called Combo Pack.
Yeah. That's a great band name.
Yeah, it's pretty good. with a couple other ladies. And we did covers of pop music. We also had this medley of like so many different pop songs that Gretchen and I arranged. But in that band, Annie was playing violin because she grew up playing violin. Yeah. She actually, I think we did Kiss Me Through the Phone, and she had an amazing violin part on that.
Yeah.
Gretchen was playing guitar because she was just learning how to play guitar at that point. And I was playing ukulele, which is like kind of embarrassing. but yeah, I had a ukulele my freshman year,
because
I didn't bring a guitar to college with me. So I bought a ukulele in town. I was like, I'll just learn this. I used to walk around with my ukulele and like make up songs when I was drunk. Like that was the original Cool Slut. Was a
oh,
song
really?
That I wrote on ukulele that, yeah, it was just improv. I just walk around with it, be like, we're just a couple of sluts like on a Friday night. Looking for some dick. it would last like 20 minutes sometimes. I'd just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Party song.
It was a party song. Yeah. We were just like walking around campus looking for the peen. But yeah, a lot of the lyrics from that song transferred over to Cool Slut.
Oh, that's great. It was
like,
that's great.
This is easy to write.
Yeah, which is on the new album Time to Go Home, which is out now on Hardly Art. I must say that it's a fantastic album. And
thank you.
It has been everywhere. Like, you guys are getting a lot of play on a lot of different media outlets. Which is amazing, because I don't know, when did all this, this media blitz really start? Like, maybe 2-3 months ago? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
About that time?
Probably when we released the first single.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was, like, January 1st, maybe, or, like, January 4th.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And I had heard, you know, about the band. I'd seen a couple postings, like, people going to shows or something like that. And people telling me, you need to check these ladies out. And I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden you were everywhere. Out of the blue, Chastity Belt.
Yeah.
All over everything. Blowing up the scene, man. Yeah. And it's just fantastic. I mean, this thing is really taken off for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really exciting.
I'm sure it has been.
It's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Did you think that this was going to happen?
sort of. Sort of? Is that, like, bad to say?
No,
I don't know.
Not at all.
We've all felt like, I don't know. We weren't even expecting our last record to get any, or No Regrets, our first record, to get any attention. But we weren't expecting anything out of that. And then it got attention kind of from nothing. So with this one, we were like, well, this record's actually good. Like, I don't know. I feel a lot more proud about this record.
Uh-huh.
So we were hoping that, yeah, that it would get this much attention. We didn't know it would be like quite as much, but
yeah,
we're all excited.
Yeah.
We all felt like, we've all just felt really good about it leading up to it. We're like, yeah.
Well, I'm sure like during the recording process and writing the songs that are on this newest album, there must have been some sort of like, oh yeah, this is good.
Yeah. Like, definitely.
This is going to work.
Like, yeah, with most of the songs on there, we've just been like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is cool, the direction that we're going.
Well, every single song on the album is fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm really impressed by it. So let's we jumped ahead there just a little bit, but so you guys form a band called Combo Pack, named after Combo Pack VHS tapes?
Just any type of combo pack,
yeah.
I guess.
I guess there's an endless amount of different types of combo packs out there.
Yeah. Just like Costco, I guess. Costco has a lot of combo packs.
Right, right.
Yeah, so we did that. That was just covers, though. We didn't have any original songs.
Okay. And were you playing like parties over at the you know, in Walla Walla and things like that? Did you guys start out like that?
We weren't even really playing parties. We weren't that cool. I think we played like a couple shows, and one was like at the French House, like for a brunch.
What?
There's still videos of that on YouTube. I don't want to watch.
Was that, what was your first show? What was your first show as?
I think that was it.
That was it.
The French House thing. Yeah.
Okay. The French House is a restaurant or something? What?
No, it's, there's different houses that people can live in on campus. Mm. So the French House is like people who are taking French can live in the French House. So yeah, it's just like a different option than a dorm. It's
okay.
Like,
yeah.
A house rather than a dorm. And there's like 10 people who live there or something.
Almost like a frat or a sorority house.
Almost, but like smaller, but like, okay. Yeah, smaller scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Co-ed frat, I guess.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, that's so, okay. So how did that feel? Because you were saying earlier that like at 9 years old, you had some pretty serious stage fright.
Yeah. Well, it definitely felt better having like a band with me. But yeah, it's funny how, yeah, looking back on that, we were all like pretty nervous. Now it's just pretty dumb. But it felt good. Yeah, it felt like, oh, this is something that we could do. It didn't feel that great because it was a joke.
Uh-huh.
Just covering pop songs.
Uh-huh. What kind of songs were you guys covering?
Kiss Me Through the Phone was one. I can't even remember now. The medley had a bunch of different stuff in it. There was like some T-Pain maybe.
Some T-Pain?
Yeah.
Who was rapping?
We had this singer, one of our friends was, she rapped, and then I think Gretchen actually might have rapped part of it too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I want to hear that.
Yeah, and now that I'm talking about this, I kind of want to watch that YouTube video, because I'm pretty sure Gretchen raps in it.
We've got to look this up.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know, I might have, we did Buy You a Drink. That was, yeah.
Buy who? What's that? I don't know that one.
I'm a buy you a drink.
That's T-Pain?
I think it is. I don't even know anymore. Like, I don't know. I was really into that stuff in college, and now I don't listen to things like that very often.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. That's.
But was it a hit? Like, people enjoyed it and stuff, and so you guys just started doing more of it?
I don't know if anyone liked it. Our friends liked it, I guess. But yeah, then we stopped doing that after freshman year. That was that didn't last on into sophomore year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think sophomore year was the year that Chastity Belt kind of formed without any songs. That's the year that we played our first show, which we just performed one like 5 minute long song.
That's it.
Yeah. It was called Surrender. It was like, the chorus was like, take your chastity belt off and surrender to the god of punk. And it had lines like, I'm going to like steal cigarettes from my mom, like put eyeliner on, just tons of stuff like that.
Yeah.
About being like an angsty teen. That was kind of our thing. That was, because it was just all a joke at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, we entered into a battle of the bands that the frat, the beta frat, was putting on.
Okay.
And we just performed that one song. And at that point, Annie was on drums, because she just knew this one drum beat and was really good at it. And Gretchen and I were playing guitar and singing. Gretchen has some crazy screams in that song. And then Lydia was playing bass.
Did you guys record this song?
Yeah, this is recorded. I think that might be on YouTube too. Or our friend recorded it on her camera. So, and there's a there's a documentary on YouTube, a rockumentary.
Yeah.
About us that was made our senior year by this guy named Alex Folkerth, who was a film major. So for his senior project, he did this documentary on Chastity Belt, and there's a clip of us playing our first show in there. We're all wearing eyeliner, like tons of eyeliner. I think I had like red dripping down from my eyes, like my eyes were bleeding, and we all made shirts that said Chastity Belt in like punk lettering.
Yeah,
I think mine had an anarchy sign on it.
Ooh, yeah. For the A in Chastity.
Yeah.
Nice.
I gotta find that shirt. I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, you gotta start wearing that again.
Yeah.
I think
it's cool. It's cool again. Needed. Yeah. I think that some of the other ladies have their shirts still.
Uh-huh.
Mine's gotta be somewhere. I don't think I would get rid of a gem like that.
No, that's it's gonna be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame someday.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I gotta remember this and look all this stuff up.
Yeah. Please do. I don't know why I'm talking about this. I don't really want people to see this stuff. Now I'm going to go home and like try to get it all removed from YouTube. Yeah.
Well, if I get there first, I'm going to post all of it. Well, that's so how long did it take for you to be comfortable playing in front of people? Was it just that first show at the French house? It was like, this is it. This
no,
is for me.
It's been a gradual thing.
Do you still get anxiety?
I still get nervous for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I get more nervous at shows where my friends are watching, like, or people that I really care about that who don't see Chastity Belt perform very often.
Like your parents?
Yeah, actually, they have come to show. That doesn't make me as nervous as like other people who are like great musicians and like really, but yeah, I still get nervous for shows like that. And then we did KEXP yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That always freaks me out because it's like, there's so much pressure. It's like, it's live. You have one shot to get this song right.
Yeah.
We're going to videotape you while you're doing it and post it to YouTube. And a lot of people will watch it.
So
you're like thinking about how you look while you play also.
Right.
And it's just, whew, yeah. That's probably, after doing that, I just feel like I'll never be nervous again. Because that's just like the most intense kind of anxiety.
Yeah, it really just puts you right into the situation you don't want to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You get used to it.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. Let's take our second musical break. Let's play this song called Joke off of the new album by Chastity Belt, Time to Go Home. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears when we return with special guest this week, Julia Shapiro of the band. All right. Stay with us. This is Joke We'll be right back. So when does like chastity belt start becoming like a serious thing?
Probably when we moved to Seattle.
And when was that? What year?
That was right after we graduated, so 2012.
2012?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody moved to Seattle, obviously.
Uh-huh. Lydia and I moved here right after graduating, so.
Okay. By the way, what did you study in college?
I studied psychology, and then I minored in art.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm an art minor. Yeah. But, so Lydia and I moved to Seattle in June of 2012, and then Gretchen and Annie didn't get here until September or something.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that just because, like, you guys liked Washington, you wanted to move to the city and be around more music and stuff? Or was it like, yeah, let's try to make this a thing, let's go for it?
Yeah, we'd already played a couple shows in Seattle our senior year.
Okay.
And we had a couple connections here, like, our friends in the band Dude York were playing around, and they were getting us some shows, and then we also knew Taco Cat through Annie's sister, who was friends with them. So we played a show with them. Yeah. So it just felt like a kind of natural transition. None of us really knew what we were doing after school. So we were like, let's just move and see what happens.
Yeah. Very normal, normal feeling.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we had no idea it would go this far at all.
Uh-huh.
But we're all really happy about it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I can only imagine. So, you know, you keep on saying like some of the music that you guys were playing while you were in Walla Walla was kind of just like jokey and, you know, you weren't very serious about it. But especially on this new album, there is definitely more of a serious tone to some of the songs. Maybe a sarcastic look at how women are treated in society and things of that nature. A feminist bent to the songs, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense at all. but when did that start taking place? When you guys were, you know, writing more of a music with a more serious tone to it?
I think when our audience changed, our music kind of changed. 'Cause
how did the audience change?
Well, in college, we were just playing music to drunken college students,
sure,
like at house parties. So I think I was trying to write more songs that people could dance to.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just wanted it to be like more lighthearted and fun, 'cause that's what we were doing at the time. And then when we got here, we were like, oh, people take music really seriously here. and like no one dances, and everyone just
Seattle.
Like stands. Yeah.
Right.
Everyone just stands there and kind of nods their head, and they look like they're really bored. But then after we play, everyone's like, wow, that was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm always like, really? Like,
is that what the song Seattle Party is about?
I guess a little bit. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we wrote that like over the summer right after graduating. So
yeah, everybody looks disinterested.
Yeah.
Until after the show.
Totally.
Yeah. Then they buy your merch.
Yeah.
And want to take a selfie with you.
Yeah. People. I love when people ask to take a selfie. That's maybe my favorite request.
I saw on Facebook just this morning that Jen Ghetto gave you guys a selfie stick.
She did.
Yeah.
It's maybe the best gift that we've ever received. We were just saying earlier that morning that we needed to get one. And then our dreams came true later that night. Yeah, I was having a lot of fun with that.
I've got a moral dilemma with selfie sticks. I don't know. Like, I see people using them more and more often.
Really?
Now. Yeah, like on ferry boats and stuff. You know, when I'm like, we just went and visited my parents like last weekend, and I think I saw like 5 different people with selfie sticks, and they're
out. I think it must be like a tourist thing.
It's definitely
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
I actually, I don't know if I've seen one out in the wild.
Really?
I think the first time I encountered a selfie stick was when I went to this horrible club in Boston, and there was just like a dude on stage with a selfie stick, and that was his role, like, was to take selfies with the audience.
What?
Yeah, he was just up there on stage with the band.
Yeah.
And his selfie stick.
He wasn't playing, was like not singing. He's just the selfie taker.
Yeah, he was kind of the hype guy, I guess. But yeah, we did a little bit of that last night, some selfies with the crowd.
Okay, so I'm going to sound really stupid here, but does it have like a button on the stick that makes the thing go off?
It does, but I couldn't figure out how to do that. So I was just using self-timer. I have to figure.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't read through all the instructions. It was
so it must be like Bluetooth or something like that, or is there actually a connection to
I have
the phone?
No idea.
Okay.
I really have to look at the instructions.
Well, if there's more technology associated with it, then maybe it's cooler to me.
Yeah. I think it's cool in the way that it's like so horrible.
It is
cool.
It
That's
is,
like,
right?
I don't even know what my taste is anymore, because it's just like, I just like the worst things.
Like what? What else do you like that you would consider bad?
I mean, I got my band, I forced them into buying bucket hats on a couple tours ago. So we all got bucket hats. And then on this last tour, we all got those sunglasses that are super reflective, and they like wrap around your face. They kind of like hug your face.
Oh, like Oakley's
like
or something?
Sort of like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like super sporty. But also kind of like bro spring break.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we wore those a bunch.
On the tour?
Yeah. It was kind of like a cool, like, morale booster, you know? Yeah, it was like, yeah, we don't really have anything left to talk about in the car, so let's just put these sunglasses on, selfies.
Let's just, every souvenir shop we see, we're going to stop by and we're going to get some dumb shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
We got those in San Antonio at this, like, it was a spring break store, I swear.
It was,
like,
a spring break store.
Yeah. Well, I think it was spring break when we were there. Okay. So it was probably just a tourist store, but everything was spring break. Uh-huh. There were shirts that were like, spring break 2015. I wanted one of those, but they were a little pricey.
Did you guys play a show over there?
We didn't actually play a show in San Antonio, so that's how we had a chance to just, like, gotcha, kind of scope the shops. But we stayed there.
Yeah.
I think it was on our way to McAllen. Yeah. Which is Southern Texas, right on the border.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we played at a festival there called Galaxy Fair.
Oh, cool. Did you have a good time?
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
So back to like the, more serious nature, or music with a message.
Yeah.
kind of thing. And I know that a lot of people have been talking to you guys about this.
Uh-huh.
But does it seem like you guys, or you ladies, are on the verge of becoming a mouthpiece for a movement?
Oh, I don't know. That would be cool, I guess. I don't.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is like, would that be something that you're, you know, I have this feeling, like, because of the nature of the lyrics in your songs and stuff, like, it could be, you know, taken as like, you know, you guys have a message and you want to get it out there. And I think it's a valuable message. Definitely. Yeah. Being the father of two daughters, like, I want them to grow up being, yeah, strong and, like, independent and, you know, taking charge of their own life.
Totally.
Which, by the way, like, bothers me a little bit, because my wife rented Beauty and the Beast for my eldest daughter the other day.
Yeah.
And I sat back here and watched it with her.
Like, that movie's fucked up.
It's really fucked up, man. Like, she gets basically pawned off on the Beast because, and I didn't see the whole thing, but because, like, the dad of Belle, like, he's at the Beast castle or something like that, and in order for him to get let go by the Beast, he basically gives his daughter to the Beast.
I didn't,
or something,
even
like that.
Like, I haven't seen that movie in so long. I didn't, I remember, like, the how thing. They How I'm gonna she get got some, to be there.
I'm gonna get some emails. I'm gonna get.
I just remember it being, like, pretty violent, like, it was, like, domestic, yeah, kind of abuse, like, from this Beast, who then is, like.
Yeah, he's like verbally abusive in the first couple, like, acts of the movie, you know, and then it's almost like a Stockholm syndrome kind of thing,
yeah,
where she becomes to, you know, she falls in love with him. And turns him back into a prince.
It's so creepy.
But, like, it's just weird. And I'm, like, watching, like, all these old Disney movies with my daughter.
Yeah. What message are we sending the children? You know?
Right. Right. And I'm very conflicted by it, because, you know, I listen to bands like you, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I want. You know, I want my daughter to be like these ladies. I want her to have role models like Janet Weiss and, yeah, like, you know, Sleater-Kinney and Chastity Belt and Taco Cat, and I want her to, you know, just go out and rule her world, you know?
Yeah.
And my wife keeps on, like, let's watch The Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid's even worse.
It is really, like, bad, and that's her favorite one.
She gives up her voice, yeah, to be with a guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's like the...
And then she leaves her family behind. Because she, yeah, she goes, it's like, turn the fucking guy into a mermaid.
Yeah. Why can't, like, he be a mermaid?
Yeah.
Why does she have to lose her voice to get legs?
Exactly.
And then, of course, he falls in love with her, like, even though she has no voice.
Right.
So basically, he's just like, you're hot.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And there's
the worst message.
Many times in that movie where they explicitly say that.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, now we're really just going down a rabbit hole of Disney, old Disney movies right here, but yeah, like Ursula, you know,
Ursula
the
is actually the coolest part of that movie. I would say that Ursula
she is kind
of,
like, yeah. Right?
She was like a bad bitch.
Yeah. She's like the powerful lady in the sea that does what she wants.
She's actually so cool.
Yeah.
She's like the one redeeming factor.
I don't know, man. Movie. She's pretty evil.
I know, but in a cool
way,
though.
She owns people's souls and shit. I don't know. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm just super conflicted with that kind of stuff. So, I mean, back to my question is like, would you be willing to be a mouthpiece for a feminist movement?
Yeah, I mean,
seems like a lot of pressure.
I feel like I wouldn't be the only mouthpiece. You
well,
know?
Sure.
I feel like we're all in it together. But yeah, I don't know. It's something I believe in. So
yeah,
I would. Yeah, totally love to
gladly take it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I guess, you know,
I don't want it to be like our only thing because we're also just like a band doing music that's not even related to the feminist movement. Like a lot of our songs don't touch on that. I don't think like all of our music has to be about that. But
yeah. Am I reading too much into it?
No, not at all. But like, I wouldn't say that's like our only thing or that we have an agenda or anything like that. But it's definitely like, we're all women and we're all feminists, so
yeah.
it comes across for sure.
Uh-huh.
I want younger women to listen to our music and be inspired and feel like they could be in a band and like, yeah, I don't know. I'd love to be a role model for younger women.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you will be if you're not already.
Yeah. Great. Cool. My dreams are coming true.
Now you have some, so basically what I'm doing is I'm giving you some material to write about. You should start writing about Disney movies and where they've gone wrong.
Yeah.
And now I've got this on my mind. Peter Pan, one of the most racist and like, you know, super sexist movies I've seen in a long time.
I haven't seen that one in a while.
Holy shit, man. That one's bad. Like, like super racially insensitive.
Oh, yeah, because there's those, like, Native Americans,
yeah, in the, on the whatever they're, Neverland, I guess. Yeah, it's bad.
The Jungle Book is pretty racist, too.
Man.
They're, all these Disney movies are, like, pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't think that The Lion King is racist. Or
no,
at least,
The Lion
like,
King's pretty great.
And that was my favorite Disney movie growing up.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe you could probably read into it and make it racist in some way, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it's not racist.
No, we've watched that one recently and it was pretty good. It was solid. And like the newer ones coming out, like Frozen and stuff has a great message.
Oh, I heard that was good.
Yeah, it has great message to it.
That's cool. Disney's changing.
I think, yeah.
With the
times. I think so, for the better. Great. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good thing. And you grew up on all these movies too, right? And you turned out good.
Yeah. So
I probably shouldn't worry about it.
Yeah. I realize now like how fucked up they are. So it's fine as long as your daughters realize eventually what's wrong with those movies they grew up on.
That's the goal, man.
Yeah.
So what's coming up? What's, I mean, you guys just got off. I'm super excited that you're here because I was kind of thinking because you guys did KXP yesterday, you just got off tour from doing South by Southwest and all that stuff. And then you had a CD release show last night for your album, Time to Go Home, which is out now, by the way. And I was usually when we have interviews lined up like that, stacked up against a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I get a call the next day saying, you know what? I'm really sorry, but I'm not feeling good.
Can't make it.
but you have been super, super busy
yeah,
doing all this stuff.
It's been crazy.
And how did the tour go?
It went great.
Yeah?
Yeah, we had a great time.
How long was it?
It was about 2 weeks. Lots of long drives.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we're getting pretty good at that at this point. We had one 14-hour day, which was insane.
Of just driving?
Yeah. I felt like a different person afterwards. It's like I felt like I had done like hard drugs or something. Yeah.
Well, you basically were, because you guys got addicted to Red Bull.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of Red Bull and a lot of driving. And you can feel crazy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Did you hallucinate at any point?
I might have. I think that more so there's just like chunks, blocks of time where just like I have no memory.
It's disappeared.
Yeah, it's just gone.
Yeah.
And immediately, like once we got to our hotel, we were like, what did we do all day?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even remember how I got here. Yeah.
But yeah, we drove straight back from South By because we wanted to make it back in time for our record release.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be bad to miss that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had an in-store at Everyday Music the day that we got back. Yeah. Gretchen and I were really tired, so we decided to take Ritalin right before we played, which we'd never taken Ritalin before, and I really don't recommend it.
No.
I've done Adderall before. You know, I dabble in Adderall. Uh-huh. Ritalin's a whole different thing. It's not fun.
It's no.
It's like drinking way too much coffee and having a panic attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your mouth gets all dry. Gretchen and I just kept looking at each other being like, what the fuck?
What the hell did we just do? Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we kept it together. We were really on it was the thing. Like, we played really well, but the whole time I was like, I'm going to die. So yeah, never doing that again.
Oh my God. Yeah. That does not sound like a great thing. I took Ritalin once, not knowing what it was. A guy gave it to me in college when I was studying for a final with a friend of mine. And he gave her one too. And like an idiot, we just took it, you know, not knowing what it was. And we were like, what is this? Oh no, just take it. Just take it. Be fine. All right. And we took it and
could
have been anything. And it was up for hours. I mean, it just, you know, all night.
Yeah.
And it didn't even help me study, you know, cause it was just like, like just what you said, like your heart is like, wants to come out of your chest.
It's like palpitating.
Right. Yeah. That was awful. It's absolutely awful. So you guys basically you toured to get down to South By,
yeah.
Right. And what was the experience of South By Southwest?
It was pretty intense for us because we played 8 shows in 3 days.
Oh my God! Like bicycle shops and cafes and
all over different venues.
Yeah,
makeshift venues.
Was it a good experience for you? Or
yeah, yeah. No, we had a great time, but and all our shows were really great. But if we were going to do it again, which we probably will, I think we wouldn't play more than 2 shows in 1 day. It's just so rough getting from one show to another because there's traffic and like a lot of roads are closed and you can't find parking. It's like super chaotic.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I would have liked to have more time to see other bands and kind of just hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And we really only had like 1 night free.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was fun. I didn't expect to like it because I'm not really a fan of music festivals.
Uh-huh.
But I think the fact that it was in the city made it feel less like a gross festival. Like you're not stuck in one of those like horrible festival grounds, like
right.
fenced in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The beer isn't like $10. yeah, I ended up really enjoying myself.
Well, that's good. That's fantastic. Yeah. Because every time I talk to somebody about South by Southwest, it's a very mixed bag.
yeah,
of artists that are just like, you know, some of them are just like, I fucking hate playing that thing, you know, but we do it because we kind of have to,
yeah,
you know, it's part of the job. And some people are like you, where it's like, yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
You know, maybe I won't feel that way in a couple years.
In a couple years,
but
yeah,
that was our first time there. And I actually was expecting the worst. So, like, I was scared that I was just going to, like, have to quit and, like, go home.
Oh, really?
I mean, not really. But, like, I just heard horror stories. And
oh, sure.
It was
yeah.
like, I don't know if we're going to make it. Like, but it really wasn't that bad.
Well, that's
really
good. That's good.
It's kind of like band boot camp. Like,
yeah,
you get really, really good at setting your stuff up and like finding parking and loading in, loading out really fast.
Just being stressed out.
Being stressed out. Yeah. It's like if you can do that, you can do anything with your band. Like
sure.
if we did that without getting in any major fights, like I feel like,
yeah,
we're never going to fight, you know, we're in it forever.
That's awesome. That's great. Do you guys get along on tour?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. No major fights?
No.
Little disagreements here and there, though.
Little disagreements happen,
yeah.
But nothing major. Nothing we can't just laugh off later.
Sure.
Yeah. None of us are super dramatic people, so
yeah.
It's pretty easy to get along.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. So was that one of your first tours as Chastity Belt, or have you guys toured before?
We've done a bunch of West Coast tours, and then we did one full U.S. tour a couple years ago, like right after No Regrets came out.
Oh, cool.
Do you know that band Pony Time?
Yeah, love
them. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, I had them on the show. Speaking of like little, or not little, but music festivals that I can no longer get myself to go to, I talked to Pony Time at Capitol Hill Block Party. A couple years ago.
Yeah, see, Block Party for me is like a nightmare.
I cannot get myself to go back down there.
Yeah.
Ever again.
I played it last year.
Oh,
with,
you did?
My band Childbirth, who Stacy from Pony Time is drums in that band.
Right, yeah.
And then Bree from Taco Cat
plays
bass. But yeah, I was like, I kind of want to like ride out this free like day that I get here. And then I just hated it so much that I left right after we played, and there weren't any bands that I really wanted to see on our day. So I was just like, I'm over this. I'll drink my free drinks and then leave.
Well, it's so packed into such a small area. Like
that's
the thing
is.
That kind of bugs me. Like I can't, I do like going to festivals like in a press capacity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't get the full access to everything, but you can kind of get away from everything and go to certain areas where you can just chill out.
Totally.
Get away from the crowd. But man, that one's a tough one.
I really don't like crowds.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that one is very rough. I don't know why, like they should either make it
you're gonna
bigger
have to get used
or like
to it.
Let fewer people in. I know. But I don't know, like playing at those things is a little different. Like,
yeah.
Usually, like, you get treated pretty well and you have, like, a nice place to escape.
Exactly, exactly.
But, yeah, that's why South By was nice, because it wasn't so dense with
people.
Yeah,
it's more, like, way more spread out.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. So what's coming up for you guys? Now that the album is out, are you guys doing a supporting tour here coming up soon for the summer or what?
We leave for another tour on May 16th. We're opening a bunch of shows for Courtney Barnett.
Awesome.
Which we're really excited about.
Great. And where are those shows?
It starts in New York. It's kind of a weird tour route. So we're flying to New York for a week in May. I'm playing 3 shows there with Courtney Barnett at the Bowery Ballroom, and then one show at Rough Trade. And then another show with Courtney Barnett in Boston.
Awesome.
And then we fly back to Seattle and immediately start driving down the coast to LA and then through Austin again, like same thing that we just did. but then we go like all the way to Florida and up to New York again.
So this is going to be like
the whole thing is 6 weeks. Actually.
Oh, 6 weeks. So
it's pretty
almost 2 months.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you like it? You like being on the road?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I think at the end of 6 weeks, I'll probably be a little bit over it, but, yeah. But I'm excited. It'll be fun to play a mix of like bigger rooms. And then also in between the Courtney Barnett dates, we're doing just like kind of smaller DIY venues
or yeah.
other stuff. So it'd be cool to have that mix.
Yeah, definitely.
And now we have a booking agent, so that really takes the stress off of a tour.
Uh-huh.
They just send us an email with all the dates and like load-in times and contact information. Uh-huh. It's yeah. so great.
What do you want on your rider?
Yeah, we need to do a rider. We kept meaning to do that, actually.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think you would like on your rider? Right now, let's work this out.
We actually have talked about this.
Have you?
Yeah. We want kombucha, maybe coconut water.
Gross and gross.
Yeah. everyone in the band, well, like, I'm not as crazy about that stuff as yeah. the other three.
No, you can
like,
be. You can be. I don't want to make you feel bad
you know,
for like
I can be, but I'm not. I just want to make that clear that that's more their thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Tequila.
Yeah.
100% agave. That'll be on our rider.
Awesome.
What else? Oh, a hummus plate with some vegetables. Vegetables are key because like you don't get that many fresh vegetables when you're touring.
That's
like,
yeah, yeah.
Gas station dinners and uh-huh. stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would all definitely be on there.
Well, that sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy.
So some healthy stuff and then a bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, well, white wine was another one.
Oh, white wine
yeah.
too?
Yeah.
In addition to the tequila?
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Oh, man.
I think, yeah, if, you know, if we're not feeling the hard A, as yeah. they call it. White wine's a good substitute, I guess.
That's fantastic. Well, Juliet, this has been a complete honor having you back to the backyard. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And let's plug your wares here. Where can we find you online and find out about the tour dates and everything coming up?
We have a Facebook page. Should show up if you just type in Chastity Belt, if you have a Facebook.
Should be the only should Chastity be, Belt yeah, page I, on there.
There might Maybe. Be some other weird stuff, but I think that ours is the biggest right. Chastity Belt page. And then our music, you can order on Hardly Art's website, hardlyart.com.
/Chastity Belt.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, yeah, I would urge everybody to get their hands on this album, Time to Go Home. It's fantastic. Now, is this on vinyl as well?
It is.
This yeah. would sound really good on vinyl.
Yeah. It's also going to be on tape.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just got the test press for a tape. So I think it'll be the first Hardly Art tape, actually. And it sounds great on tape.
Does
I don't
it
know,
really?
I'm a fan of tape. Yeah.
Man, I just can't. I don't understand why tape cassettes are coming back. But if they're selling, I mean, that's great.
Yeah. I think, to me, it makes sense if I'm touring and I like a band to buy a tape rather than vinyl because you're going to be like in the car.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to
you don't
have to
get
like
home
lug
and have
around
like a warped piece of vinyl.
Yeah.
Or,
totally.
A broken one. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's like mostly how compact it is.
Sure. Sure.
But also I like how it sounds. I don't know. I like it. I think that our record sounds really good on cassette. I just uh-huh. listened to the test press and I was like, yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. That's great. Well, I'm really excited for the future of Chastity Belt, and I wish you guys all the best.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Chastity Belt will be going back out on the road, and you can see them May 22nd at Rough Trade in New York City. May 27th, Mississippi Studios. That is really hard to say, in Portland, Oregon. June 7th, One-Eyed Jacks in New Orleans, Louisiana. And July 24th at Capitol Hill Block Party right here in Seattle. So don't miss this. Do not miss out on Chastity Belt. That almost rhymed, folks. That almost rhymed.
Go and like their Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. Go to hardlyart.com/chastitybelt and purchase the album. Purchase the album, folks. It's so, so good. All right. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes. And if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. We always really appreciate that. And we read each review. You can also just leave a star rating, which only takes a couple seconds, folks. We are also available on Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps. So download the app that works best and find us through there. Or just visit www.air-raid.net to subscribe directly to the RSS feed. And you can find all of our archived episodes by clicking on the archive tab. All 242 episodes, folks. Lots of stuff to keep you occupied. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/ the Air Raid Podcast. Our Twitter handle is at Air Raid Net, or email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge. Pledge to tell somebody about this show. Tell your friends, your mother, your sister, your brother, your father. We'll even take cousins and sign them up. Sign them up for the show. Subscribe them to the show without them knowing. It'll be like a little present that they get each Monday, right? All right. Here is your inspirational quote of the week as said by a 3.5-year-old.
It's during our darkest moments that we must focus to see the light.
Good job.
I want to hear it.
Wasn't that good? Wasn't that good? Oh my God, I love my daughter. I think I'd love to, I love this segment as much as you do, folks. I love it. All right, we're going to close the episode this week with the song Time to Go Home, the title track off of the album Time to Go Home by Chastity Belt. And we'll be back next week with a whole new episode for you. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week, everybody. Have a good one.